fit, all right? And the reason why I chose to do this, because at the beginning of the year, 93% of America is trying to get their bodies in fit, get their lives fit, okay? And the membership for gyms are like skyrocketed. And as a matter of fact, Friday afternoon after work, I drove by my gym, and it was still packed on Friday, so I kept driving. Because we know we don't go there until February, because all you guys that make commitments don't last. So I'll be back there February 1st. Okay. Anyway, so people are trying to get themselves fit for the beginning of the year. And the reason why we're doing this series is because God wants you fit spirit, soul, and body. Okay? So we've been doing the series on this. And hey, can you pop up 1 Thessalonians 5:23? This is like our key scripture that we look at every week. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Okay, and it said, and this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to people who are followers of Jesus. He's writing to us, right? He says, "Now may the God of peace sanctify you completely, make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And we talked about every week, preserve means to guard and to protect. To look after. And it's so interesting, you look at this scripture, whose responsibility is that? It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility to look after your spirit, your soul, and your body. So that's where the bucket stops, right there. Okay, so first week we talked about our spirit. We talked all about we are a three-part being, we have a spirit, and our spirit will be strengthened and stronger as we feed on the Word of God. So you should all be feeding daily on the Word of God. Second week and third week, we actually took 2 weeks to talk about your soul. That's because this thing just really gives you a run for the money. It takes 2 weeks to do it. So we said that your soul, your mind, you have to renew it. And you renew it with the Word of God. Okay? You don't renew it watching 72 hours of the miniseries. It's not going to renew your mind, okay, and have a fit mind. It's okay, so that's what we talked about. Now, has anybody ever had trouble with their mind? Guys, I still have trouble with my mind. Yeah, so I still am reading this daily because my mind will just take me on a left turn. So I'm so glad I'm the only one that's still reading their Bible and has trouble with their mind. I do, and that's why we do that. Now, today we're going to talk about the body. We're going to talk about the body. God made the body. Now, you may believe in evolution, but I believe the Word of God that says God made our body. Okay? God made our body. And can I give you some interesting statistics in seeing how amazing our God is and how amazing our body is? Listen to this. The average person has 60 to 100 million veins in their body. Okay? Big ones and little ones. You have between 60 and 100 million veins in your body, okay? And that's enough to go around the world 3 times. That's how many veins you got stuck in here. You can go around the world 3 times, okay? Now, if you gain a pound, all right, you add 7 more miles. Not saying anything there. Okay, let's move on about our heart, all right? Your heart. Your heart beats, ready, 100,000 times a day. Your heart beats 100,000 times a day, okay? And that's 35 million times a year, 2.5 billion times in a lifetime. This heart, crazy, awesome, incredible, because God made us that way. All right, now check this one out. Your body has 6 quarts of blood circulating in it. 6 quarts of blood circulating in it, okay? Now, it goes through, those 6 quarts of blood goes through your body 3 times in a minute. Awesome! This body is amazing, okay? Alrighty? So listen, I had so much fun. Just Google about your body and you just go, God, you're just incredible to make this. I don't think I evolved from a tadpole and I look this good. Right? All right. So today we're going to talk about our bodies, but I'm not going to talk about that kind of stuff. I'm not going to talk about how you should exercise. I'm not going to talk about what you stick in your mouth, okay, and do with your body. I'm pretty sure you all know how to take care of your bodies. Okay, and that particular person that had two donuts this morning. Okay, all righty. You know I love you. All righty. So, but I'm going to talk about something that's more important inside of this body. Really, the real you inside of your body, the real part of your body is called the flesh. Okay, flesh. Write that on the back of your calendar because you're taking notes, right? Flesh. Now, flesh, when I talk about that, I'm not talking about this as the flesh. Like you could pinch this. That's really your body, right? Go pinch your neighbor, make sure they're awake. Okay, I'm going to talk about flesh. And the Bible has something that it says, you'll see in the Bible, they'll use the word talking about your body and flesh interchangeably. We're going to just focus on that one today called the flesh. All righty? So everybody in here has flesh. You all have a flesh, okay? And your flesh can give you a bunch of trouble. And your flesh is no respecter of person. Your flesh doesn't care if you've been a Christian for 30 years or 30 days. Your flesh doesn't care if you're like the top CEO or you're a teenager. All righty? Your flesh, it doesn't care. It's not a respecter of a person's, okay? And you all have flesh. And it can give you some trouble. So we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to also get answers for it, all righty? So, and you all know your flesh. I know my flesh when it's going, wah! Okay, so you all know your flesh. Flesh is like the thing that's inside of you when you get really ticked off at somebody and you want to just scream, smash their face in the wall, and pull every hair out of their head. That is your flesh. Flesh is the thing on inside of you when you get so frustrated with your teenager that you say something you wish you did not say. Okay, that's not your mind, guys. That's your flesh. That's your flesh. Everybody say flesh. Okay, so pretty much anything you do that's not right, that's wrong, that's bad, that's your flesh. Okay? And your flesh loves to do the opposite of what God wants you to do. Matter of fact, your flesh just goes, the Bible. Okay, it's not real happy with that. Your flesh just, it'll take you a path you don't want to go. So before I go any farther, I'm going to have to do a little review so you can all stay on the page. Okay, here we go. We talked with that scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says we are a three-part being, right? Everybody remember that? I am a spirit. I have my soul, which is my mind, my will, and emotions. Okay, I have one of those. You all have one of those. Okay, and we live in a body. All right, now, when you ask Jesus to come into your life, he does amazing things. The most amazing thing. What he does is he makes you brand new on your spirit. The real you is a spirit. I can't see the real you. You can't see my real you. But when you ask Jesus Christ, it's in the Bible, when you ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of life, your spirit becomes brand new, totally transformed, totally complete. Isn't that bananas? I tell you, I love it. Okay, now, the soul. Everybody go like this. My soul. Guess what? This didn't get changed. This didn't get transformed. This didn't get saved, did it? Nope. Okay. Matter of fact, this soul, this mind, your will and emotions is being saved. That means it's a process, okay? It's a process, okay? And the way you get that thing to think better, to be transformed, okay, is through the Bible, through the Word of God, the Word of God, okay? And you need to, that's called renewing your mind, and you need to do it once a week. No, you'll be calling me up if that's all you do. You need to do it daily. And listen, I've had days where all hell broke loose, and I am running back in the bathroom, slam the door, and I'm reading my Bible. Because there's a lot hitting my life. So I do it more than once a day sometimes, okay? But if you think you're just going to do it, just come on Sunday because I'm going to do this to you. not going to be so good. All right. Now, we're talking about the body. We're talking about the body. The day after you receive Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior, you said, Jesus, I need you to be in my life. And God transforms you, your spirit. After that happens, this body is not saved. So remember, I'm using the word body slash flesh. Okay. This flesh isn't saved. Okay. It is still wants to do things that are wrong. So we have to work on it. Amen. We have to work on it. So we talked about the last 2 weeks that your mind can have things stuck in it. I just use that word toxins. Your mind can have toxins stuck in there. Okay. And we said, and they're toxins. Toxins are poison. Anybody want to drink poison? No. Okay. But toxins can get stuck in your mind, such as anger. That's a toxin. Not a good way to live life. Not fun to live with a person who's always toxic in their brain with anger, okay? Unforgiveness. Not a good way to live life. That's a toxin stuck in your mind, and you are living in unforgiveness and bitterness and blah, 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 okay? So those are toxins, and we talked about toxins that can get in your mind, and we talked about how you get rid of them, all right? So your body can have toxins. Your body can have toxins, all right? And that's not just because you didn't eat organic. I'm not talking about eating organic, okay? I'm talking about your flesh, all righty? So everybody here has struggles in life. Did anybody have one of them last week? Y'all had a piece of cake. Oh, my gosh. What's your address, okay? So we have struggles in life, all right? I have struggles. You have struggles. And God knows we have struggles, and he gives answers for those struggles. And that's what we're going to look at today. So would you all open up to 1 Timothy 4? 1 Timothy 4, okay? If you guys are just going to look on the screen, which is fine, but write that down so you can go home. Okay, and continue to study this. So 1 Timothy 4:8. All right, we're talking about our body slash flesh. We're talking about this. 1 Timothy 4:8. Say yay when you get there. Okay, some of you there. All right, here we go. For bodily exercise profiteth little. This is the scripture that most Christians use when they don't want to exercise. Okay, but hang in there, okay? For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of life now and in which is to come. Now listen to the New Living Translation. It says it this way. Physical training is good. Everybody say good. It didn't say bad. Exercise, training, physical is good, all right? Physical is good. But, this is the good time of but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the one to come, okay? So, you being in church today, right? You're in church today, is much better than you going to the gym this morning. Yeah, all right. You guys are so funny today, all right? You know, because you being in church is you deciding to help your spirit be strong. Now, if you went to the gym this morning, and we'll just say all those empty seats, those people are at the gym this morning, okay? That's good. And the thing about doing physical, that just lasts for a short time, okay? But doing spiritual things like coming to church, going to grow groups, reading your Bible, that'll last long, 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 long in your life. And it says, in this life and the life to come. All right? So, let's look at this here. So we want to train our bodies, and we also want to work with this body, our flesh. We want to work with our flesh, and we want to have it grow. We want to have it grow. Because I don't want a whole bunch of big babies. Do you want a bunch of big babies? No, I need you to grow, okay? So we're gonna train our the flesh here. Now, how many of you read your Bible at least once? Okay. How many have read it a couple times? How many have read it for years? I've been reading my Bible for years, and it's really interesting. Sometimes people think that everybody in the Bible is sort of like these superhero people. They got capes on, and they just do amazing super things. But you know what? When I read my Bible, you know what I found about pretty much everybody in the Bible except for Jesus? They are super dysfunctional. I do. Pastor D, are you calling those people of the men and women of God? They're called of God. Yeah, and guess what? You're called of God, and you're also dysfunctional. I get dysfunctional, okay? So, now, and listen, I was just contemplating. I said, okay, Lord, if I'm going to do a series teaching about family, what family could I open up my Bible and use as my example? I'm sitting there thinking, I couldn't come up with one, except for Jesus, all right? So take, for instance, David's family. Dysfunctional, right? He's got brothers killing brothers, and he's, dysfunctional. Joseph, everybody know the story of Joseph? He's got some dysfunctional brothers. Oh, Pastor D, that's just the way boys act. No, baby, that's dysfunctional. All right? Come on. They sell their brother to a slavery bunch, okay? And he gets carted off, and then they go back and tell their dad, hey, Dad, I don't know what happened to him. He must have died. Okay, that's dysfunctional family, right? Dysfunctional people. All righty. So that's not normal, right, guys? That's not normal. So, guys, the Word of God will help get the dysfunction out of us, all right? And everybody's got a little smell of dysfunction going on, all right? But this Word of God will help you. Turn over to Romans 7. You'll love this one. Romans 7. Romans 7. Paul, the Apostle Paul, the guy, you know, the guy is writing that. Listen to this. Romans 7, verses 18 through 25. Romans 7. I know that nothing good lives in me. Okay, who's writing this? Paul! Paul, the guy that wrote two-thirds of the Bible, said, I know nothing good lives inside of me. I'm like, crud, I must be incredibly terrible then. Okay, so Paul's writing this, but you listen, it's not really what he's saying. Hang in there, hang in there, okay? I know that nothing good lives inside of me. That is my sinful nature. He's really talking about his flesh. Guys, he's talking about that flesh that makes you dysfunctional, that makes things go toxic in your life, all right? And this is what he says. I want to do what's right, but I can't. Anybody have days like that? I want to do what's good, but I don't. Anybody have days like that? Gosh. I want to do what's wrong. Oh, except I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. Yep, had days like that. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing it. It is sin living in me that does it. Flesh, flesh. Write that word flesh, okay? Then you keep going. Gets better. The ending's the pow, okay? I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what's wrong. I love God's law, his word, with all my heart, but there is another power, flesh, within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am! Anybody ever days like that? Yep. Okay. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will set me free from this life that is dominated by sin and death? The answer. Thank God. The answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord Savior. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my flesh, sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. Okay. So what's Paul saying here? Besides saying dysfunction. He's saying, you know, I hear somebody say, oh, the struggles are real. Man, it's real, baby. He's saying that. That's what he's really saying. He says, you know, life has got some struggles, okay? And the struggles are with our flesh. Our struggles are with our flesh, okay? Because your spirit's okay, right? But you got this flesh, all right? So the struggles are with the flesh, all right? Now, again, before you received Jesus Christ into your life, okay, you thought a certain way, you acted a certain way, you did certain things that most likely were not always good and wrong, right? Anybody have a life, a BC life? I'm not telling you everything I did, okay? Now, after you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, okay, he said your spirit, the real you, is saved. It's made brand new. It's perfect. It's complete. But your mind, your soul is in a process, right? Okay? Now, this mind left to itself without you renewing it with the word of God leaves residue. How many have had drywall done in your house? We were just talking about that. Ruth had drywall done in her house. Okay? So you put drywall up. You put mud all over it. Then you sand it. Oh, excuse me. Back up. You put drywall up. You put mud on it. And you go away for a day. Then you come back the next day because it's dry. And you sand it. Then you put more mud on it. And you go away for a day. And you come back the next day. And you do this 3 times, okay? When the job is done, guess what's all over your house? Residue. Got it? Good example, Pastor D. All right? The job is done. Jesus Christ did a job on the inside of you. He made you perfect. Your spirit's complete. But you got residue because of the life before. All right? So you have to renew your mind, and you renew your mind to the way God says, and then it starts telling your body to line up. Isn't that wonderful? But you don't mess with your mind. You got residue, guys, all over your house. Okay. So your body's not saved. Okay. Your body's not saved. Your flesh isn't saved. Your flesh just follows. I like Andrew Womack gave the explanation. Your flesh is like being on a train. Now, back in the day when I played with trains, The first train is the engine, right? The control center's in the front. And what is at the end? The caboose. Your body's the caboose. It just follows whatever's in front of it. It follows what it sees, follows what it hears, okay, and all that stuff. Now, if you take care of this, it's going to follow in a good direction. If you don't take care of this, it just goes with the flow. It just goes with the flow by what it sees. The doctor gives you a report. You hear what's going on in your body. It's terrible. Okay, it just goes with that. Unless you do something with this, okay? So we've got a mind and our soul, and we've got this body. Okay, now, I try to help. I really do. I'm a helper. I'm a cheerleader. Woo! But you have to influence this, so it'll get the body going in the right direction. You have to do something about it, alrighty? So, again, your body is not saved. Your flesh is not saved. Someday, if Jesus comes back first or you die and go to heaven, you're going to get a glorious body. And I think mine's about a size 4. Maybe 6. Okay. You're going to get, it'll get saved, it'll catch up to your spirit that's made perfect, your mind will be made perfect, and your body will be perfect. It'll be better than you can imagine, okay? But right now, what do I do with this flesh? What do I do with this body? What do I do with it? Let it go to pot? Let it just scream and have a temper tantrum? No, we don't do that, all right? So what are we going to do with it? We need to learn to master this flesh. Okay, how about this word? You need to learn how to control your flesh, right? It's like little kids. Have you ever seen kids that have not been, all right? They're just out of control. Okay, your flesh just loves to be out of control. You need to learn to control it. All righty, so we're going to talk about that. Now, Monday morning, you're going to wake up and say, oh, Pastor D said I should master this flesh of mine. It's 6:30. I just don't feel like going to work. Hit the button. Okay? Guess what? If you hit that, your flesh just mastered you. Okay? Your flesh mastered you, but you're supposed to master your flesh. Alrighty. So, real quick, we're going to go over some toxins that get into our bodies. Ready? And everybody's got toxins at one time or another. Alrighty. So, number one, first toxin that some people deal with in their bodies, their flesh. Some people deal with is addictions. Write that down. Addictions. Number one. All right. Addictions. Okay. Now, we live in a society, man. It is like full of addictions. Would you say so? It's full of addiction. And it's really interesting. Our society kind of leans towards making people have addictions. Case in point. I have probably three friends I know that's happened. They had some pain in their body. They had some things going on with their body. They went to the doctor to, you know, things weren't getting better. So they went to the doctor, and the doctor prescribed some pain meds because of the pain in their body. Okay? 1 year later, three of my friends, and actually one of them has been dealing with this for 4 years, they are addicted to pain meds. Addicted to pain meds. Now, they're not bad people. Two of them are believers. They're followers of Jesus Christ. They're not bad. They didn't wake up one day and say, yay, I'm going to get addicted to pain meds. Nope. But listen, our society's just kind of, it kind of leans that way. I remember, you know, this past July when I broke my wrist and then I had surgery, they gave me some pain meds. And I was like, I'm not going to take them. I don't want to be addicted. Because I know these stories. And my daughter Cassie said, Ma, just take them. You only got five of them. You won't get addicted. I was like, okay. Because I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't sleep during the day because I was in pain. I couldn't sleep at night. Okay, so I didn't get addicted. Promise, go check my medicine cabinet. All righty? Now, praise God. Our society kind of leans to that. So what do you do if you have addiction? You're here today and you have an addiction, okay? What do you do? Turn over to Romans 6. Here's our answer. Romans 6. Praise God. Y'all here today? Good. Just checking. Okay. Romans 6. You know, guys, there's all kinds of addictions, and I'm not going to label them, right? You know what they are, all right? Listen, food can be your addiction. This could be your other addiction. Right? Or the mouse. Okay, there's all kinds of addictions going on here, alrighty? But listen to what Romans, this is Paul, Romans 6. Therefore, I do not let sin reign in my mortal body. Sin, what the heck is sin? Sin is missing the mark. Sin is missing the mark. God set the mark up here, and you missed it. Sin, write that down. Sin is missing the mark, okay? So Paul is saying, therefore, by the way, do not is not, it's a command. Right? Do you read that? It's a command. Do not let sin, miss the mark, reign in your mortal bodies. Right? You should obey, you should not obey its lusts. Do not present your members as instruments or your flesh as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Okay, what's he saying? He's simply saying, hey, stop it. Stop doing that stuff, missing the mark. Stop doing that. And then he says, you can master control your flesh. You can do it, all right? Instead of your flesh controlling you all over the place. That's all he's saying right there. Now, guys, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You know why I know that? Y'all see athletes? They master their flesh, don't they? And they do incredible things. They lift incredible amounts of weight, right? The athletes do that, right? Okay, now, they do things that you can't do, right? Actually, no. Because tell you what, if you would master and control and discipline your flesh to get up early to go to the gym to pump weight, okay, you could do the same thing. Now, maybe not to the same level. I'm not going to lift 300 pounds, okay? But I bet I could get a few things off the ground instead of my 2-pound weight, okay? All right? All I'm saying is the Bible says here that you can master your flesh. You can, all right? Everybody can, all righty? Or else your flesh is just going to master you. It will, all righty? So, Pastor D, I can't do it. I can't do it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because the Bible says God has given to everyone grace. And we talked about grace, right? Grace is God empowering you to do what you can't do. So what does that mean? First off, I go, oh, God, I have let my flesh rule me all over the place. I am so sorry. And God, I thank you. You will help me, empower me to master this flesh. And he does. He does. Okay? Amen. Praise God. So, toxin number two to your body that some people can have, you might even have already. Here we go. It's a word you use all the time. Ready? Debauchery. How many of you use that in a sentence in a month? Okay. It's a Bible word, debauchery. Ready? D-E-B-A-U-C-H-E-R-Y. Say debauchery. Open up to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 18. I'm going to read out of the NIV version because it says debauchery. Ready? Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to, come on, debauchery. Okay. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. All right. So what is debauchery? Ready? Excess. Y'all know what excess is? Excess. All right. Indulgence of the appetite. Another definition. And this is what my friend wrote down. I love it. Write this down. Here we go. Anything that leads you to lose your senses, to do, and I'm going to throw in there, say something you would not normally do. Does that sound like debauchery? I'm going to read that one again. Anything that leads you to lose your senses and to do something you would not normally do. Okay. I went to my 20th year high school reunion. It was the only one I went, and it's the only one I'm going to. Okay. I'm a believer. And also because of who I am, talking about me, not talking about you, but who I am and my fellowship with God, I don't drink. Okay? Now, one time I did go on a diving trip, and they had a punch bowl in the foyer, and I'm guzzling them, and I'm going, woo! And Jack goes, D, it's rum punch. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I crashed on the beach, but I wasn't intending to do that. So anyway, back to the 20-year reunion, okay? So I'm not drinking at the 20-year reunion. 1 hour goes by. That's okay. 2 hours go by. Everybody's drinking. Third hour. So I really like the 2 hour. All of a sudden, you hear this roaring going over in the corner here. And there's Charlie. Now, I grew up with Charlie. He lived on my street, okay? Actually, he moved here in middle school all the way through high school. Good-looking, nice guy. But there's Charlie, and he is dancing on the table. Woo, woo, woo. And next thing he knows, he moons everybody. Woo! Now, if you don't know what moon is, it's not the thing up in the sky. Okay. Normally, Charlie is this nice, married guy. He's got two kids. He's actually a high school teacher. He's got some excess / debauchery, okay? Now, some of you are thinking, yes, right, finally Pastor D's going to teach no drinking. No, I'm not. Because did you ever read your Bible? And Paul writes to Timothy. Timothy, a pastor, found in 1 Timothy. He's a pastor, and he's got a stomach problem going on in his life. And Paul writes to him, and he says, take a little wine for your stomach. Okay, he didn't say get an excess for your stomach, all right? So it is not a sin to have a drink between you and God. But excess, debauchery, debauchery. Okay, so now I don't want you telling everybody that Pastor D is pushing you all to be drinkers. Because personally, I will tell you not to drink at all. Personally, if you ever hang out with me, I'll give you my on for me, okay? Because I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Okay, anyway, so I'm not going to tell you that, but I will say, again, excess, debauchery, losing your senses to do something you not normally do will lead to sin, right? Right, it will. Alrighty, so, and if somebody says, hey, Michelle, you remember what you did last night? And Michelle can't remember. Okay, debauchery, all right. Drugs will do that to you. Smoking pot will do that to you. You'll lose your senses. You'll do things you won't do, normally do, and prescription drugs, okay? Okay, so therefore, what am I telling you? It's a toxin, right? There are toxins, and if you allow certain things in your life that you lose your senses, you're going to have problems, right? Praise God. So let me tell you this one thing. Write this down. Debauchery losing your senses, doing stuff like that. Your flesh loves it at the moment. It does. It does. Okay? It loves doing it. It loves getting away with it. It does. But if, and then listen, if your body could, it would do the worst sort of things. All righty? But, and actually the scriptures say that your body craves to do the worst things. Your flesh, okay? I'm saying flesh, your flesh, okay? So, yeah, Alex, you tell them. That's right, it does. All right. So, if you're allowing your flesh to control you, it's just going to lead to a bad place. So, number three, you all kind of get that one. Number three, toxin into your body. Abusing your body. Abusing your body. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Overworking your body. Overworking your body where you've got so much tension, so much stress going on in your life that it allows your body to break down. Okay. Sherry and I just saw a friend of ours, and I go, man, she didn't look good. And she told me later, this woman had just been living in super pressure and stress in her life, and her body just said, crash. Was it an endocrine problem? Adrenal gland, yes. Okay. Living that life, the real body just goes kaput. All righty. And it's also in the Bible. Okay, just write this down. Philippians 2:25. Okay? This is Paul writing this, and he tells about one of his buddies. Okay, I can pronounce his name. Epaphroditus. Pretty close to it. He's talking about his friend Epaphroditus, who nearly dies. The guy is a believer who nearly dies, and he and Paul are running around the globe preaching the gospel, telling everybody about Jesus, and he worked himself almost to death. Okay, so what do? Well, you need to slow down a little bit, okay? You need to slow down and enjoy your family, enjoy your kids, and sometimes you have to just say, I'm not staying every night to 8 o'clock at night. I'm going to clock out at a normal time. Maybe a half hour later, okay? And I'm going to pace myself. Because if not, you will overwhelm your body, and it's not really good. Now, I want to say this. I am not promoting laziness either. Okay? We pace ourselves. All righty. Fourth one, the last one I'm going to give you. Toxin to your body. Toxin to your body. You ready? Write this down. 1 Corinthians 6:15-18. 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 18. Fourth toxin to your body, sexual immorality. And of course, we don't know anybody here with that problem. It's the other church down the road, right? Ha ha, that was funny. Okay. Okay, 1 Corinthians, ready? 6. Paul again writing to church folks. Now listen, I'm going, you had to write to church folks? Yeah, baby, you got to write to church folks, okay? Do you not know that your bodies, flesh, okay, are members of Christ himself? When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, you become one with him, okay? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Did I see that word? Prostitute, yeah, prostitute. Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh, but whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee sexual immorality. All righty, now. You read that part where it says the two shall be one flesh? How many remember that in your wedding vows? It's usually when you talk about getting married, right? Right? The two shall be one. That's where I used to read it. Okay, and Paul's saying, look at this. Paul's saying, hey, you sleep with a prostitute, you are going to be one with them. Okay? So this also be a great encouragement if you're single, right? If you're single, you shouldn't be sleeping around, right? Should not be sleeping around because you're a follower of Jesus and you're united with him. Okay? Now, if you're married, you shouldn't be sleeping around. Uh-huh. okay? Because you're a follower, because you love your spouse, okay? And you're going to honor God and His Word. Amen? All right. So the rest of that is all self-explanatory. Pop down to 1 Thessalonians, okay? 1 Thessalonians 4. So I want to tell you more about your flesh here. 1 Thessalonians, say that 10 times fast. Thessalonians, Thessalonians, okay. 1 Thessalonians 4, 4 through 5. He's writing to the church. He's writing again to people who have received Jesus and their spirits are made perfect, okay? He's writing to us. You have to look at that Bible. It's not just words, okay? He's writing to you. And he says that each of you should learn to control his own body / flesh. Each of you needs to control your flesh, right? Could you read it that way? Okay? In a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who don't know God. So he's talking to people who have never received Jesus, not like that bunch. That bunch, they don't know God, all righty? So people who don't know God, who've not received Jesus, all righty? He's saying their life is out of control, right? They're out of control with their bodies. Anybody know any of them? Yep. Okay. Now, most of you, before, raise your hand, no, don't raise your hand, you received Jesus into your life, were you kind of out of control? I'm not looking at anybody, okay? Some of you have told me your stories. I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for saving them, all right? So most of us, before we knew God, our bodies were out of control. And most of you now won't control your bodies unless you go to a church that teaches you. Because you just think you still got residue, okay? So that's why I teach it. And listen, a lot of places won't tell you this, all right? They don't want to offend you. But listen, I want you to enjoy life now and the life to come. So we're going to teach you what the Word of God says. And listen, if you want to be the man or woman of God that God wants you to be, guess what? You're going to have to get mastered or control this flesh. You have to control it. Amen? Okay. Or it will control you. Okay, we're going to wrap up. Last couple minutes. Don't leave. Don't turn off. Don't close. Here we go. Ready? How do you detox your body? How do you got stuff in your flesh. How do you get rid of it? How do you get rid of it? So I just kind of painted all these horrible pictures. All right, Pastor D, give me the answer. You ready? Number one. You got poisons, toxins, residues in your body. Number one, guess what? Get away from them. Get away from them. All righty. Now, what do I mean? Everybody, the story of Joseph in Genesis 39. Just write it down. I'm not going to read it to you. Joseph's got these big brothers, and they sell him. Well, first they're going to kill him. They decide that one of them, hallelujah, one of them spoke up. Don't kill him. Just throw him in a pit. Okay, so they throw him in a pit, and then this caravan of traders come, and they're like, well, let's sell him and make some money. So they sell him, and Joseph is taken from his home, and he ends up in Egypt, right? He ends up in Egypt, and he ends up in Potiphar's household. Potiphar's this hotshot guy, kind of a really important, and he's a slave. He's a slave in Potiphar's house, and he's probably at the age of 17 to 19, so my commentaries say, all righty? Now, when I was 17 and 19, I was looking a lot better back then. Okay, so picture Joseph, 17 to 19, and he's sold. He's a slave in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's got this wife, Mrs. Potiphar. And Mrs. Potiphar looks at Joseph, and she starts wanting him. Guess what that was? Flesh, baby. That's your flesh. That was her flesh. She's going to try to seduce him. She tries setting a trap for Joseph to seduce him so she can take him to bed with him. And Joseph, he has a flesh, right? Do you have a flesh? Uh-huh. You do. Joseph had a flesh. And you know what Joseph did? Did you read your Bible stories? He ran! Run, Forrest, run! Run, run, run! He escaped. Okay? Now listen. Joseph is an old covenant. He's not born again. He doesn't know Jesus. He doesn't have all this great stuff going on him. He is simply has a knowing of a Jehovah God. And what did he do? He ran. Okay. So how do you detox when you got things in your flesh? There are times, and the Bible tells you, flee, run. You're going to have to run away. Does that make you a big wimp? Sissy, sissy, sissy? No, that makes you a man or a woman of God who's smart, that knows there are certain places. Okay, here's another one. So I had this couple, they were coming to church, and periodically they'd walk into the office, and he's just broken. And he goes, oh, I'm having a problem with my flesh, me and my girlfriend. Duh, what are you doing? So as we're talking, they just keep having the same old problem with their flesh. They're shacking up. They're both young adults, okay? And he goes, oh, I'm having some flesh. So I said, listen, where does this happen? I didn't want to know all the details. Don't get me goofy like that. He says, well, it's usually when we're at my house alone or her house alone. Okay, this wasn't a no-brainer. I said simply, hey, you need to run from being alone at her house and your house, right? Okay. Well, I think I just need to conquer this. Years go by, they're still shacking up, all right. He needed to run. She needed to run from those situations that were causing problems with her flesh, okay? Praise the Lord, Pastor D. Any more fun stories? All righty. Let me see. Why run? It's not being a wimp. Why run? Because it'll be better for your marriage. It'll be better for your reputation. It'll be better for your family. It'll be better on your job. It'll be better for life. So that's why we run. Okay? Amen. I have a good friend. Her son has been struggling with addictions. He's been through rehab 4 times. Actually, 5. And finally, he decided he'd run. Been through rehab, was doing really good. And he had to run from home. The people, the friends at home, all the connections from home. And he now lives in Florida. He's doing awesome. Doing awesome. It's okay to run, guys. All right? Sometimes the smart thing is to run. All righty. Praise the Lord. How about this one? Maybe you have an addiction to pornography. Nobody here. I'll just tell the story anyway. So there are programs that you can install on your computer. I think one of them is called Guardian Eyes. Don't quote me on that. And what you do is you have all these problems with pornography, and you talk to your spouse and say, hey, listen, let's install this on both our programs, and anytime I look, you'll get the message. Well, I'm a man. I don't need to do that. Yeah, you do, because you love your spouse, right? You love them. You love and honor God. So that's running. That's a good run. Amen? Amen. You can look up those programs. I can't remember what they are. Okay. All right. Number 2, get rid of toxins in your body. How do you get rid of them? Number 2, guard your mind. Guard your mind. So we talked about our soul, and actually it's always going to start here. It's always going to start here, and if you get it here in your mind, right, it'll help your body. All right. So here's a good scripture. And as I say, they're all good and they're my favorite. Here we go. Matthew 6:22. Ready? Matthew 6:22. I'm going to read this out of the New Living because it just makes it real easy to see. Jesus wrote this. He said, your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body. All right? When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. In other words, whatever you're looking at, whatever you're filling yourself with, is the way your life's going to go. Right? Whatever you're focusing on, filling on, is the way your life is going to be filled up and it's going to go. So, Because we're followers of Jesus, all right? If your eyes are in the wrong place all the time, lots of time, hours at a time, if your eyes are feeding, looking, or even hearing, okay, it's going to fill up on the inside and you're just going to be doing wrong stuff you ought not to be doing. It's really basic, guys. All righty? So, praise the Lord. All righty. Now, if you don't want this body, your flesh, doing things, you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. Then how about we fill up our eyes, fill up our mind and the Word of God, and you might have to turn off some things to fill up. Amen. All righty. Number three, how do you get rid of toxins in your body? Go all in for God. Go all in for God. All righty. Turn over to Romans. Is that Romans? No, yeah, Romans 6:13. How do you get rid of some of these toxins that are in my flesh that are just, you know, okay, here we go. Romans 6:13. Do not let any part of your body / flesh become instruments of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to the internet, TV. What's it say? All right. Instead, give yourself completely to God. Does that mean I can't watch TV? No. But if you're filling, okay. So, now, all right. So that's kind of, you get it? Look at another really cool scripture. Just write this down. 1 Corinthians 9:25-27. 1 Corinthians 9. There we go. We got my last one here. All righty. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. Wrong one. Last one. Here we go. All athletes are disciplined. Oh, I love that word. Underline it. In their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, right? Anybody got some of those in your closet? Those prizes, those ribbons, right? But we do it for eternal prize. So run with purpose. In every step, I'm not just talking about shadow boxing. My favorite word, discipline my body / flesh. Okay, this is Paul saying he disciplines his flesh, right? I discipline my body like the athlete, training it to do what it should do. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Alrighty. So what he's saying is, this is Paul. He said, you know what? I'm out every day telling people about Jesus, how great he is, what he does in their life, things that they need to be doing in their life, and how this. But if I don't discipline my body and I do the thing I told them not to do, I would be disqualified. All right. From doing what God's called me to do. Guys, God's called you to do things. They're not my things because I'm called to do different things. But he's called every one of you, all right, to do things for him. Maybe, you know, to be a dad, to be a mom, to be the best person on the job site. You know, it's not just I'm going to be called to be in this podium, all right, but he's called you to do things. And we don't want to disqualify ourselves, all right? So, how many of you have ever told somebody, hey, you're a believer, you know, you should be doing blah, 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 and then you turn around and do blah, 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 right? Okay? So, what happened? You know the truth. You're telling them blah, 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 right? Okay? But you've not disciplined the flesh, the body. You've not disciplined it, and you're not mastering it. And guess what? It mastered you. Okay, no condemnation, okay? But Paul's telling us, hey, guys, be like the athletes. You're going to have to discipline this flesh, all right? Discipline it like an athlete, all righty? So how about this? How do I do it? It's a two-letter word. Starts with N, ends with O. No, all right? You're going to have to say no to certain things sometimes. certain things sometimes, all right? You're going to have to say no. Maybe at the first of the year you made a commitment, I'm going to get up 30 minutes early and just get some quiet time before all the kids get up, all right? And I'm just going to have my time with the Lord. I'm going to read this Bible, going to, you know, get rid of residue in my mind, okay? All righty. Or maybe you're like, the Lord's just really impressing on you to turn off that TV and just spend time playing with your kids. Get out the board games, all right? Okay? Now, those are the things that you're disciplining your body here. And but you know what's going to happen? All of a sudden, that day is going to come, and you've got these feelings coming up, and it's telling you, that, you know where those feelings are coming from? My flesh. My flesh. So what I'm going to say, no, not doing that. I am turning off that TV. I know that path. I'll be there 3 hours later, and I've spent no time with my kids. Been there, done it. Okay? So you that's just saying no. Saying no, mastering it. All right. So toxins to get rid of. Ready? Get away from them. That's meaning to run. Guard your mind. That means fill up with the Word of God. Go all in. That means you might have to say all no. Well, everybody say no. Last one. Live like a stranger. Last one. We're going to wrap up in a minute. Here we go. Live like a stranger. I didn't say live strange. Some of you are just weird. That's not what it says, okay? Live like a stranger, all righty? This, you are traveling through, guys. If you've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you are traveling through. You are on a journey through this life, and heaven's my home, right? 1 Peter 2:11. Just write it down. They'll pop it up. Dear friends, that means you all. Followers, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners. My dad would say foreigners, okay? He's from Brooklyn. It simply means, hey, you guys, you're just strangers here. You're aliens. How many like alien movies? I love hiding on it. Okay, you're an alien here. This is not your real place, nation, all righty? And he says, I warn you to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your soul. Now, we've had friends in the past a couple of times, and this one particular family, they came from India. And you go in their house, they smelled like they came from India. Not because they stunk. They cooked. They only bought their kinds of foods, cooked their kinds of foods, right, the whole time. They just... The way they lived in India, they continued to live their life that way here. All righty? And you know why they did that? Because someday they were moving back. They were actually here because of a company transfer, okay? And it was a limited time, 5 years. They're going to be here for 5 years. And they knew that if they spoiled themselves with all this American stuff, when they went back, their life would be painful. They'd be in misery, okay? So they just decided they're just going to just buy the foods and eat those kinds of foods. Okay, so what's this? Peter's telling us, hey, guys, you are strangers here. You are temporarily on this planet. You may live in this world. You guys live in this world. But this is not, we're not of this world. The day you asked Jesus Christ into your life, the Bible says he took you out of the kingdom of darkness and brought you into God's kingdom, the kingdom of light. You're no longer that kingdom. You are in God's kingdom, all right? And you need to live like that. You need to live like that. And then you don't live like the world. Now, I'm going ice skating. I'm going to have some fun, all right? That's okay. You can have fun like that. But there's other things that are toxic. And he's saying, if you would just get this set in your head, you'd live life. You'd master life. You'd control your life a whole lot better because I am here just temporary. You are here just temporary till Jesus comes back like that or you go home beforehand, all right? So I'm temporary. Live this life and master this life like it's, you know. And I say this a lot. You know, when it comes to eternity, it's not going to make any difference. So why get your head bent out of shape? Why live like that? Because I'm thinking about where I'm really from. Okay, so let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you have put us here for such a time as this. I thank you that you have plans for us, for our family, and we're here just for a while, not to be mastered by the world, but we can master our bodies and live like lights. Live and walk and influence and enjoy life. I thank you for that. I thank you for that, Father, and I thank you that this word is making us transformed in how we do life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, eyes closed still, everybody. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you're hearing about being a follower of Jesus Christ and you can't remember a time when you said, Lord Jesus, I want to be your follower. If you can't remember ever praying a prayer with somebody or by yourself, you can do that. If you've never done that and said, Jesus, I would like to be your follower. I would like to give you all of my life so that you could be all of you and me. If you'd like to do that today, I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to just welcome you to the family of God. And the way you do that is say, Lord Jesus, would you be Lord of my life? I surrender my life. Is there anybody here who would raise their hand and say, Pastor D, I'd like to make that commitment today because I've never done that. Is there anybody here? I'll pray with you. I won't make you stand up, run down here. Okay, I'll just raise your hand and we'll all pray with you. Is there anybody here? Okay, praise God. Is there anybody that say, you know, Pastor D, I've lived my life all by myself doing it my way, but I'd like to have peace in my life and I'd like to ask Jesus into my life. Is there anybody here? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anybody just say, you know, I think I'm done. I'm done doing life by myself. All right. You know, sometimes, okay, eyes open. Here you go. Sometimes you get, you're like, I know. I should raise my hand. But I just can't. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray this prayer out loud. Everybody stand up. We're going to pray this prayer. And if you know, you just sort that feeling or just knowing, man, I should raise my hand, but I just can't do it. We're going to pray it out loud. You pray this out loud so you can hear it. All right. And it's you praying it out loud so you can hear it. God will hear it and he'll make you a new person. Okay. You ready? So everybody say this with me. Father God, I come to you. In Jesus' name. Praise God. I realize that I'm not with you. I've been separated. I've actually been a sinner. And I repent for my sins. Praise God. And this day, I give you my heart. I am choosing to be your child. All right. I'm now a child of God. And Jesus is my Lord. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, please come up because I got a book for you. But the rest of you, praise God, praise God. Also, what's our, here we go. Ready? I am the head and not the tail. I am blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. Everything I set my hand to, I prosper in. Because God lives in me and through me. Amen. Have a wonderful week. Please.